welcome to another broadcast of Philosophic Perspectives with Arthur D. Schwartz on the Arthur's First Radio Network. All past broadcasts are archived. You can pick them up at artistfirst.com. And now here he is, your host. It's Arthur D. Schwartz.
Hello. Welcome again, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm having a rough week, and I've heard several times during this campaign how Donald Trump was talking about how he just started his business with just a small loan of $1 million from his father. Yeah, I can use a small loan like that right now. No, actually, I'm okay. just a small loan of $1 million. I mean, I know that is a small loan in business, any kind of sizable business, but come on. Well, so this blends into a topic that I am extremely interested in. It has a lot to do with me. In other words, it's something I'm promoting. And I did a show on it, I think a month or two ago. And it's this new group I've created called Creativity Expo. And it's all about independent, indie authors, indie filmmakers, independent artists, of course, musicians. And what I'd like to do today, I'm just going to ruminate. I'm going to plug, because I believe in this project. And I know it's going to work. And I have been making some headway. I have been attracting some talent that's going to come on, but it's kind of slow going. And I feel like I need some kind of a real motivational speaker, someone who really can get up there and just get the folks just on their feet and come to join in, because it's been going slow. But I'm going to continue to talk about it because, I mentioned Trump because there is a whole quasi-political aspect to it, not really, philosophical aspect to it. Of course, that's not unusual on this show, dealing with philosophy. But the idea of the show is philosophy, and the idea of the Creativity Expo is indie thinkers, indie artists, indie authors. Like I've said, I've kind of found myself now very much in this because I first became an indie author, and now I'm an indie radio host, and I am a true believer in it's in the American way, independent, individualist. Now, here's the thing about it. The individualism of America is based upon individuality and collective support, mutual interdependency. The more interdependent we are means that we value independence, but also the camaraderie and the mutual support that a cooperative society provides. And that's why I do call myself oftentimes a progressive socialist or a social libertarian. I use those two terms because I believe in a combination of the two. I think that libertarianism does have a lot to say for it. But by the same token, so does socialism. And, by the way, speaking of socialism, I guess Bernie is... I don't think it looks too good right now, does it? It looks like it's Trump and Hillary. Although I think Kasich actually can make a run because they're dropping like flies on the Republican side, and you really only have Cruz and Kasich, and so now it's only three. And Trump is not really moving above 40. And so I would not be surprised if Kasich actually emerges. He could actually become the nominee. I know he only had like 150 delegate votes right now. Well, I am really meandering. But you know what, folks? That's what tonight's about. It's about meandering. Let's get back. So the Creativity Expo is about independent artists of all stripes. And The thing there is, how is this going to happen? You know, that's why I started off with saying, you know, if only I just had a small $1 million loan, it will take care of it. I just want a small $1 million loan. Is that asking for too much? I mean, I get these invitations on the email all the time. It usually comes from Libya or someplace, but they just want to use my bank account to deposit about $30 million. And then, of course, I would get a very, very substantial a percentage of that. Would that be so wrong? They just want to use my bank account. Yeah. Maybe I should try it, huh? I remember when that scam first came out. It was back quite a while. It was back actually in the late 90s, I think, or maybe it was the earlier, or maybe it was a little bit before that, maybe the mid 90s. I'm not exactly sure, but it was, in the 90s, and when it was these Libyan scams came out, I actually called the FBI, and because at the time I hadn't really seen it before, and the guy told me, the FBI, he told me that, yeah, I mean, and he said some people fall for it because I remember quite distinctly, he said somebody was killed. They actually went out to meet this guy, and then I guess he never came back. Boy, so like I said, I am meandering. So let me tell you something. I'm talking about the creativity expo. There's a method to the madness. The more insane I sound, the more you might possibly be wondering, what the heck am I talking about? And that could possibly ultimately produce more interest in the proposition if through the nonsense and the confusion emerges a singular idea. And that singular idea is creativityexpo.net. Creativityexpo.net. Spelled CREATIVITY Expo, EXPO.net. That is the site. It's actually a meetup site, but that that domain will take you there. And right now it's just the Boston area. I mean, obviously for practical reasons, because, people too far out of state wouldn't be too interested in doing this. But the thing about it is I invite everybody to join. You can participate from afar. And, of course, if you do make visits to the area. And I don't have a date for this expo yet, but I am planning. I'm hoping it will be done before the end of this spring. As I said, I am making some progress right now. I am looking high and low to find filmmakers who might be interested. You know, it's difficult because in what I'm doing here, it's very small scale, really. So. Maybe right now, initially, I might be attracting, students or more novice types. But I want, and that would be fine with me. That's absolutely fine with me. The thing here is what I am doing, I'm hoping I'm doing, is to creating a foundation for others who have something to say or something to express themselves with, or some creative project or artistic endeavor, to have the opportunity to come to. I'm renting a space. I'll be able to accommodate close to 150 people, which is not a lot. But what a great start it could be for someone who has never done this before. And from there, I'll grow. And here's the thing about it: it's an excellent opportunity because I am not charging an exposition fee. In other words, I'm not charging a presentation fee. The only fee I'm charging is the admission, that anybody can come in to, it's probably going to be $10 an admission fee. So you come in, you pay the admission. And that's the only thing you pay. Now, an artist has to register with me and let me know what he's doing or she's doing and write a little description, put it on the site. But there is no fee for that. There's no fee to exhibit. The only fee is an admission fee. So in other words, this is rock bottom price. that if you are an artist, if you are an author who want, I could possibly give you a whole half hour to make a presentation about your treatise, about your novel, about your poems, about your poetry. Where are you going to get that? And for just simply the cost of getting in like anybody else, $10. And I know it's a darn good idea. I mean, I'm not going to make too much money on it, obviously. But I think once people understand what an opportunity this is, it's going to happen. I am going to break down and actually start advertising this out beyond Meetup. I think I'm going to go to Eventbrite, and I'm going to spend some money to bring new people in because I know this is a good idea. I know it, and even if it doesn't work out, I know it's a good idea. Yeah, it's true. You know, something can be a good idea even when it doesn't work out. Of course, it's the implementation. Now, that gets me around to my favorite topic of ethics. I like to talk about intentionality and effectuality. Well, this goes, the point I'm trying to make, is, of course, is that very well-known saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. In other words, good intentions, a good idea, is good, but it doesn't always have to work out that way. I mean, really. Now, some people say, well, good idea, oh, that's just shit. You have to make it happen. Well, it's not really true. You know, that was the opinion of Jean-Paul Sartre, the French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. And he believed that in his existentialism, and really, you know, when someone dies, you know, what's their value of their life? You can't talk about good ideas. You can't talk about what you went and meant to do or thought you were capable of doing. If you never did it, then it doesn't count. It counts for naught. I heartily disagree with Jean-Paul. I do agree that what you do and what you achieve is very important. Oh, don't get me wrong. Come on. But that is not the only thing. First of all, anything you ever did that was worth anything that you achieved concretely had to first be in your head as an idea to search for, to go for, to strive for. And so if you take away the idea, you have nothing. So therefore, it's a little paradoxical because it's true. Some people might have born and have great ideas, world ideas that could change the world, and yet nothing came of it. There could be a lot of things like that. You know, I'm just meandering here, but you know what? I'm listening to myself talk, and I'm telling you, I'm making a lot of sense here. So much is at stake by having ideas. Now, sometimes they don't work for a whole myriad reasons. Sometimes they don't work because they are repressed by the powers that be, by big money, by big media, by big science, by big corporations, by big governments, by prejudice, by stupidity, by dogma, by so many different things, you can crush a good idea. And so, if you crush the idea, does it mean that the idea was stupid and not worthwhile? I don't think so. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pushing the Creativity Expo. Because even if it doesn't do anything, I think it's a good idea. Now, perhaps if I can convince you that it is a good idea, maybe you can, let's say, you know, you don't have to be in Boston. Why don't you sign up? It's free to sign up. You can just type in creativityexpo.net or http://www.creativityexpo.net and join us. And then you can make comments, and you can see what's going on, and maybe you'll pay us a visit one of these days. And, you know, if it works, you know, maybe we'll go beyond the Boston area. Because this is an idea that is intrinsically valuable. I know it for personal experience. I mean, I'm repeating myself from another show I did, but it's, this one I can tell already is very different than that one. Because, you see, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, my gosh, those brain cells, they're just dying so quick. I got to come out with the ideas quickly because I want to make sure that I still got the brain cells to use in articulating them. But I know what I got. Okay, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, I got into this. My book, Ethical Empowerment, Virtue Beyond the Paradigms, took me about 12 or 13 years in total. I conceived it, researched it, thought of it, you know, conceptualized it, the whole shebang, about the first 6 years, you know, wrote notes and all that stuff. But I didn't actually get down to start writing the book until about 6 years before I finished it. So I don't exactly remember precisely, but I would say it's between 12 and 13 years when the whole shebang, about 6 years, that I'm pretty sure is 6 years of the actual writing of it. And, you know, I didn't write it every single day, but, yeah, it took 6 years from beginning to end to actually write it, 12 years in the whole total conception and writing of it. And this is an independent book. I am an independent author. I'm self-published. My publishing company, which is my publishing company, is called Emergence Books. And I began to learn the ropes of independent publishing. I did use Ingram Spark to publish mine. It's then available in hardcover and paperback. I noticed, thank you, Scott, on the Artist First Radio Network homepage, the book is presented at the top of the page, in which it's a link. The link will take you right to Amazon. And this is, you know, this introduced me to the world of independent publishing, and, you know, just the very idea is attractive to me because philosophically, I think that's what I really am all about. Now, at one time, I figured, well, you know, I have to go to a publisher and, you know, go the conventional route. And I was, sometimes I, even though I have a computer background in another lifetime, sometimes I'm a little slow in picking up on things. And I kept thinking, but, you know, then I realized that nowadays for me to get published a book like I publish, it's almost impossible to publish this kind of book not aligned with any university. I am in private practice as a hypnotherapist and philosophical counselor, and I have a whole variety of, formal and informal education, both. And so I found myself in this position. So, and this is a long-about way of saying, as I've said once before in the other show, in the other program about a month or two ago, I wish the Creativity Expo or something like it existed for me to talk about my book. What I am presenting here is the thing that I know that I want very much to be provided for me as well. So, yes, I will be one of the guests on the Creativity Expo. However, the show is not going to be about me. I'll just be like anybody else, presenting and perhaps selling my book and having material available, that type of thing. Yes, okay, I'll make my presence as well as known as I can possibly can, so long as it's within good taste. Because it's not going to be the Arthur D. Schwartz show, I promise you that. I want to attract lots of really fine talent. I am getting some now. In the last week, really, I finally started to get several people signing up, and we're going to have a meeting on the 28th. I'm going to meet some of these potential presenters, and we're going to really get the ball rolling. I'm going to be attending a open screening organization to try to meet some filmmakers to get some interesting ones coming on. I mean, there's a lot of potential, but, you know, it's very slow. But I tell you what, it has picked up. I'm just sticking with it. I'm plugging away. And so, folks, let me tell you, I got to tell you something. Here's where you want to go. It's called the Creativity Expo. CREATIVITY EXPO. CreativityExpo.net. I didn't choose .com because it was taken. Okay? CreativityExpo.net. And this will be a foundation for a, you know, the Nick, I don't really truly feel it's necessarily worthy, but Boston is, at least the local folks it's around here, I'm not sure if this tag has any currency outside of Boston, but around here anyway, it's referred to sometimes as Boston, as the Athens of America. Well, I do think that is a little bit conceited. Well, I mean, let's face it, you know, the old Bostonian, you know, the old Brahmin class, they call them. Sort of, you guys kind of conceited, you know, right? As a matter of fact, that Brahmin class is actually everything that independent creatives, independent authors, independent filmmakers, independent poets, independent artists, indie philosophers, indie radio show hosts. They're probably not generally thought of in the context of Brahmins. So, but nonetheless, at the Athens of America, that's what it's called. I don't know if it has any currency outside of Boston. It probably does in some few places. And so the Creativity Expo, I think, is just right at in the right place. You know, we have, you know, many of the great universities in the country and the world, actually, in the Boston area, the MITs and the Harvards, and, you know, then we have the school, we have Tufts here, a lot of, you know, great, great schools here. And so the thing is that I think there is a, you know, as might be imagined, a really wonderful spin-off effect of that. You know, a lot of people in sort of in working in not the shadows, but in the illumination, you might say, of all of this academia that we have here. And I think there is a sort of a class of folks who are inspired by that. And some of these people, I think, do really good work. I mean, you can't help but be inspired and motivated by all of this intellectuality that does exist in the area. Of course, Boston is kind of schizophrenic. I mean, you watch these movies, every movie about Boston, and then you listen to the phony accent they have. It makes me sick. I mean, I don't have a Boston accent because I wasn't born here. I was about 11 or 12 years old when my family moved up here. And but the accent that you hear on these shows that are located in Boston, and the actors and the phony accent, it's just like you listen to it and it doesn't sound like anyone knows around here. It's so exaggerated. But what am I getting at? Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is not all of Boston is particularly intellectual. I know that might be a surprise to many people, but it's not. Okay. What I'm talking about here is the Creativity Expo. Let me give you the website. CREATIVITY EXPO. CreativityExpo.net. Why don't you check it out? Feel free to email me about anything at all, on whatever subject, at radio@arthurdschwartz.com. radio@arthurdschwartz.com. And so I just want to make a few points now. This expo is going to be a very eclectic thing, and it is going to happen. I'm just opening my briefcase to get something. And The expo is a kind of situation where some of the work that's going to be presented is probably very unstructured and kind of, you know, sort of in the works, and some of it is very well established and a final product. For example, myself, my book, but there can be going to be others. And boy, you know, I tell you, what I'm looking to do now is to, I have two books in mind that are going to be not exactly spin-offs of my book, of my current book, but Ethical Empowerment, but books that are sort of spin-offs in a certain degree. And it is, you know, the material to spin off it off is in the book. And that's what I think I need is from additional work to, that's what I understand that you need to be successful in the indie world and on Amazon is to have more than one book. So that's what I'm going to do, and I promise you it won't take 12 years. I think about a year maybe. Now, I think I'm running out a few things to say, and here's the thing. I was going to say something. I will definitely be back. But I want you to just stand by. We'll take a break. And, you know, before you continue here a little bit. I'm going to now present the three ads. I don't know which order today, but my three ads that I've been running. I'm going to have to make a new ad for the Creativity Expo. I guess you might say the show is that, but that would be a long ad. But you're going to listen to ads on about my book with Scott's brilliant voice. I will have an ad about my hypnotherapy and philosophical counseling practice, integral hypnosis. That would be my voice. And Scott, again, will bring you the Social Philosophizers Club, which is my other organization, which is, you know, basically philosophical fun and study groups, and it's connected with the Creativity Expo, but it's really a social club, whereas the Expo is going to be dedicated to producing these larger presentation events for artists, filmmakers, and authors. Okay, I will be back. So take it away, Scott.
In Ethical Empowerment, Virtue Beyond the Paradigms, Arthur D. Schwartz presents an ethical theory that is a framework for evaluating moral conundrums that go beyond legalistic rulemaking, dogmatism, and preconditioned thinking. The book is as much an ethical framework for unconventional ideas as it is for staying with convention. Ethical Empowerment is a manifesto of non-doctrinaire perspective. Ultimately, the hypnotic thinking of ideology and dogmatism can only be overcome by returning to the true source and essence of morality, which is nothing less than universal love. Discover how the philosophically liberating approach of the ethical empowerment can be applied to the range of ethical, social, and political controversy. Read about a plan to eliminate all political parties. Entertain the possibility of an overhaul of the patent system and its replacement with a system that rewards inventors while eliminating monopolistic control of patents and technological suppression. Many other transformative ideas are discussed in the book, including issues related to the monetary system, real estate, scientific paradigms, and a rational approach to conspiracy theory. While ethical empowerment will challenge your mind to consider new perspectives, the ethical challenge is always to keep the diversity, depth, and breadth of perspective within the boundaries of love. Ethical Empowerment is available at Amazon.com and most online booksellers in both print and ebook editions. Are you a person who enjoys intellectual social interaction and finds digging deeper into the nature of things, from big issues to everyday life, an important part of the pleasure of life? Social Philosophizers is a Boston area social club for those who desire intellectual socializing. It's a club for both singles and non-singles, and for anyone who finds intellectually mingling to be the best form of social mingling. The club offers a variety of interesting venues, such as philosophical get-togethers in private venues, book discussions concerning literature and philosophy, topical discussions over brunch or dinner, guest speakers, theater, after-work mixers, even long philosophical ruminations along nature trails or city streets, and more. If you live in the greater Boston area or occasionally spend time in the area, you can choose a cost-effective membership level that's right for you. Basic membership is free. Find the link on Arthur's Philosophical Perspectives show page at artistverse.com or just search socialphilosophizers.com. We hope you'll join Social Philosophizers today. That's socialphilosophizers.com.
The new release, Without From Within, poems by Ron Shaw, is a must-read. One reviewer wrote, "The depth and imagery of these poems is of surpassing beauty. They flow and blossom from the pages, even as they rip the soul. This volume should be in every poem lover's library. Inspiring and fabulous." Another reviewer wrote, "The best poems are not just the ones that touch us through great turns of phrase, but the ones that tell a story to keep our mind reeling." Ron Shaw delivers on both counts with wonderful, concise tales from the whimsical to the existential, the dramatic to the heart-wrenching. Whether it is the social commentary of the dull or the relentless and intimate strength of the pulse, Shaw will keep you glued to the page with his thought-provoking verse. You won't want to miss Without From Within, poems by Ron Shaw, available at Amazon.com in English, as an audiobook and in paperback, and in both English and French as an ebook.
This is Arthur D. Schwartz. You know, beliefs and disbeliefs can be very powerful. Much like philosophy, hypnotism is concerned with belief. Hypnotherapy, a practical application of hypnotism, may largely be described as the practice of removing false beliefs that form mental blocks to success, to happiness, and to well-being. In my hypnotherapy and philosophical counseling practice, I combine my work in philosophy with hypnotism in order to clear mental blockages that can occur on both conscious and subconscious levels. A mental block may be conscious or subconscious, and can be expressed, for example, in the form of anxiety, low self-esteem or low motivation, bad habits, tobacco habits, weight gain, low performance, and much more. If you are interested in using hypnosis and the power of the mind to overcome mental blocks and barriers that have emerged in your life, please feel free to give me a call at 617-964-4800. Or visit www.integralhypnosis.com. That's integralhypnosis.com.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, on Philosophic Perspectives on the Artist First Radio Network. Let's get back to your host, in my opinion, smartest guy in the room, Arthur D. Schwartz.
No, I think you're the smartest guy in the room, Scott.
Obviously not.
I think it's you. I think I've completed my self-serving rant on creativityexpo.net, CreativityExpo, creativityexpo.net. If you are an artist or an author or a filmmaker and you want a really cool, inexpensive, foundational opportunity to present your work, take a look at it, and it's there. It couldn't be more cost-effective, I guarantee you that. Yeah, I can tell you how much it's going to cost, $10, because that's the admission fee. There's no, it's an admission fee of $10, but there is no presentation fee, at least this one anyway. Now, I want to segue a little bit in talking about the political season. I think this will probably be a short show this evening, but I'm not quite finished. And before I get into the politics about it, you see, for me, this whole idea of independence, see, I'm a, like I say, I am a progressive libertarian or a libertarian socialist. My ideas of individuality has to do with a network of mutually interdependent, supportive, like an organic structure, that the individuals are sustained by others, and the sustaining creates stronger individuals. And so organization, you know, independent networks of independent artists, writers, filmmakers, poets, thinkers, inventors, the whole shebang is very much grounded in a philosophy of a social philosophy. And that is about human greatness, both on a collective as well as a individual level. So there is a connection to my political philosophy, and I think shared by many, and the Creativity Expo. Now, this political season has really been, I mean, I've talked about it before, it's been pretty amazing. I've never seen anything like it in this country. And so it looks like we have most likely Clinton versus Trump. Like I said before, I still think there is a good chance Trump will not get nominated, because you just look at the arithmetic. As they're falling off, I mean, I think Kasich could be the one. I think Cruz can only be a spoiler. I don't think there's any way he gets the majority, because the Trumpians and the Kasichians won't go to Cruz. But Kasich, if you look at the map, he can very, very quickly emerge very, very rapidly as a formidable opponent, because now that he's won Ohio, now that Rubio is, he's dropped out, and the only one left is Cruz and Trump. So suddenly you're going to see Kasich now becoming a major player. He's going to be winning, you know, in some of these northern states, because many people, just like myself, well, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but I mean, I lean Democratic, but I mean, I would never vote for Trump, and a lot of people would never vote for Trump because of the way he's conducted himself, because he thinks it's okay to get onto national TV and actually voice expletive deleted. I think it's the most incredible thing. And the way he says to the Speaker of the House, Ryan, he better watch it. He better be careful. And he also said that to McCain or somebody else. It seemed to me to be a threat. He better watch himself. I'm not making this up. He said that. Some people think about this, the straight arm, that he wanted to pledge his support for that he'll be voted. Some people think it's over the top to compare him to the fascist, Mussolini and Nazi, salute. Probably it is over the top, but you know what? He does do some things that are very authoritarian in nature. He really does. I mean, if you look at it, it's just, I don't think it's completely ridiculous, but I mean, I don't really believe that he's that person or that could happen in this country. But the way he says things, that he seems to want to go outside the law. He thinks that if someone says something that he feels is being slandered, he can actually shut down a media company for writing critical articles or broadcasting critical reports on him. I'm forgetting exactly, the actual case. I mean, it's very easy to find. Just go online and Google it. You know, threatening the media. He threatened the media. I mean, he just has. He actually says, you know, he basically, he wants to go. He was advocating, you know, conducting torture on our enemies, even though it's against international law. I mean, he does. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't really think it would happen. I don't think it would happen because it can't. I don't believe it could happen in this country. I believe in the strength of this country, the constitutional protections that we have, that it could not happen. But you know what? You know, the whole Constitution has been designed to defend defend the country from tyranny. I mean, that's the whole point of the Constitution. I mean, in the constitutional debates, what was it called, in the Federalist Papers, it was all about protecting the people from tyranny. That's why they have bicameral legislature. That's why they have staggered elections in the Senate. You know, only a third of the senators are elected. That's why there's only 2 years for representatives, because there's a constant turnover every 2 years, theoretically. That's why you have the Electoral College. I mean, the whole Constitution is set up to protect the country from mob rule or tyranny. And so I believe in that, and I think it would defend somebody now against a guy like Trump. I mean, Trump, again, you know, before this campaign, I didn't really have strong feelings about him, you know, at all. I mean, I kind of sort of liked him. I didn't have any – I kind of admired him in a way. I mean, I didn't have strong feelings. I don't think I thought badly of him. I never would have voted for him because for what I know, I don't agree with him politically. But – holy cow, in this election, boy, has he shown himself to be somebody that I did not think he was. And he's a liar. He's just, here's the thing about Trump. I saw him when they first started talking about, I'm trying to remember what the case was now. Oh my gosh. What did he say? And then he did. Oh yeah, he talked about. The David Duke. And when he first he said something about David Duke gave him a donation, and so do you repudiate? And he says, I don't know anything about David Duke. I don't know anything about David Duke. He says, I don't know. Like pretend he didn't know. And then it came out that in the 90s he did an interview on the Today Show with Matt Lauer, and he clearly repudiated David Duke. And then I heard Trump interviewed subsequent to that. When that came out, he said, oh, yes, well, I repudiated David Duke years ago. The thing is, he says anything he wants. He is, like Bernie Sanders said, he's a pathological liar. The man is a congenital liar. And it's documented because he's lying almost every freaking day. And the people don't give a hoot. That's the dangerous thing about it. That we have this guy, he talks absolute profanity on national TV. He's a misogynist. He's anti-Mexican. Who is he not anti? It's an unbelievable thing. But you know what? And I tell you something about Hillary. You know, I mean, I've always supported Hillary, but I don't know. I don't want to go into it. I do wonder. But you know what? I'm not going to. Whatever it is, Hillary is going to win by a landslide. Because they're just going to be running Trump commercials all day long about just what he said. And he'll probably stay around 40%. Or, no, actually not. He won't get 40%. He's getting 40% of the Republican vote, just in the Republican primary. in a general election. Yeah, right. Yeah. So he'll be, this will be the biggest landslide in American history that he'll lose. And so we can all say to Donald Trump, "Trump, you're a loser," which he is, to disgrace the office of the president the way he has, and to run for it's really a disgrace, actually. I mean, I've been to the thing, some of the things that he's done. I've been out and about, at standing in line at a bank or something. I just was thinking about the things he said, and I feel my blood begin to boil. Well, I can't believe it, but I'm actually getting near the end of the hour, but not quite. I'll talk a little longer. I never thought I'd do this, but you know what? Well, yeah, you know, when I start talking, I can't be shut up. So anyway, this whole thing about the election, it's been very interesting. Unfortunately, I think Bernie Sanders, there's no way at this point. Let's get serious. At this point, it's impossible. I actually thought yesterday he would win a few states. I actually thought that would be the case, but I don't think he won yesterday at all. I think Hillary won all five. Listen, I will say this. I very rarely, you know, if I have to vote for Hillary or Bernie, I'm very happy to do either when it comes to it. So it's very rare that I have an election that I really feel comfortable with either nominee. That's not generally the case. Of course, there's only been two really main ones this year. So I think Bernie has emerged as a very interesting figure. He's certainly presented a socialist a platform in a very persuasive way that has never been done before in American politics. Truly, this is an important campaign. He has some, and I think a lot of it is because of the demographic changes in the country over the past 20 years. It's a different country; it's changing rapidly, and so that's a big part of it. But just generational change, and how many young people are supporting him? It's amazing, a 70-year-old guy. But he has presented the socialist argument. I mean, he's not a total socialist, but you know, in many regards, he is, and he's done so in a very persuasive way that he will go down in history as an important figure for this alone. Never before has anyone come close to articulating with the force and with the large support of this kind of argument. And it's already influenced Hillary Clinton. I saw the clip on the Saturday Night Live. Well, what's that actress? The actress that writes it on now? She's really very funny. She's the one that does, I forget her name, but she does Hillary. In fact, she does Hillary. She had the one where Hillary was the bartender. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her name. But I guess with the last show, I only saw the clip. I didn't watch it, but she was Hillary, and then she was changing into Bernie Sanders because she was adopting so many of his points. So it's pretty funny. And so the point I'm making is his campaign has already been a success. It really has. It's already been a success. It's moved American politics, and I think it's made a permanent, I would say, positive change. Because once again, I'm a libertarian socialist. I have probably as many, if not more, socialist ideas than libertarian, but I have libertarian ideas too. But I'm more socialist than libertarian, probably, most people would think. But I do like my libertarian streak as well. So I think it's been a very important election so far, and while Trump is extremely upsetting and disconcerting, I do feel that this has been an important campaign on the Democratic, on the both sides, really, because it's changed the Republican Party. I don't really know what direction the party is going to go. If it becomes a much more moderate party, unfortunately, I fear that the result would be just making it more conservative. It'd be a kind of a splinter party with the extreme right. And so, but me, as you know, being, once again, with my belief in independent qualities, I am for an independent, no-party system. I've said that many, many times before. However, I will give myself a plug. In my book, Ethical Empowerment, Virtue Beyond the Paradigms, in Part 2, Section 19, the section called Eclipsing the Political Party goes into my argument for a no-party independent system. Well, I think that's going to do it for tonight. I really enjoy doing this. I really do. So this does conclude tonight's broadcast. By the way, Scott, you can run what we talked about running after I'm done. For links to my book, Ethical Empowerment, my philosophical counseling and hypnotherapy practice, and the Social Philosophizers Club, please visit arthurdschwartz.com. And this is Arthur D. Schwartz reminding you to live well and think deeply. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Are you a person who enjoys intellectual social interaction and finds digging deeper into the nature of things, from big issues to everyday life, an important part of the pleasure of life? Social Philosophizers is a Boston area social club for those who desire intellectual socializing. It's a club for both singles and non-singles, and for anyone who finds intellectually mingling to be the best form of social mingling. The club offers a variety of interesting venues, such as philosophical get-togethers in private venues, book discussions concerning literature and philosophy, topical discussions over brunch or dinner, guest speakers, theater, after-work mixers, even long philosophical ruminations along nature trails or city streets, and more. If you live in the greater Boston area or occasionally spend time in the area, you can choose a cost-effective membership level that's right for you. Basic membership is free. Find the link on Arthur's Philosophical Perspectives show page at artistverse.com or just search socialphilosophizers.com. We hope you'll join Social Philosophizers today. That's socialphilosophizers.com.
This is Arthur D. Schwartz. You know, beliefs and disbeliefs can be very powerful. Much like philosophy, hypnotism is concerned with belief. Hypnotherapy, a practical application of hypnotism, may largely be described as the practice of removing false beliefs that form mental blocks to success, to happiness, and to well-being. In my hypnotherapy and philosophical counseling practice, I combine my work in philosophy with hypnotism in order to clear mental blockages that can occur on both conscious and subconscious levels. A mental block may be conscious or subconscious and can be expressed, for example, in the form of anxiety, low self-esteem or low motivation, bad habits, tobacco habits, weight gain, low performance, and much more. If you are interested in using hypnosis and the power of the mind to overcome mental blocks and barriers that have emerged in your life, please feel free to give me a call at 617-964-4800 or visit www.integralhypnosis.com. That's integral hypnosis.com.
In Ethical Empowerment, Virtue Beyond the Paradigms, Arthur D. Schwartz presents an ethical theory that is a framework for evaluating moral conundrums that go beyond legalistic rulemaking, dogmatism, and preconditioned thinking. The book is as much an ethical framework for unconventional ideas as it is for staying with convention. Ethical Empowerment is a manifesto of non-doctrinaire perspective. Ultimately, the hypnotic thinking of ideology and dogmatism can only be overcome by returning to the true source and essence of morality, which is nothing less than universal love. Discover how the philosophically liberating approach of the Ethical Empowerment can be applied to the range of ethical, social, and political controversy. Read about a plan to eliminate all political parties. Entertain the possibility of an overhaul of the patent system and its replacement with a system that rewards inventors while eliminating monopolistic control of patents and technological suppression. Many other transformative ideas are discussed in the book, including issues related to the monetary system, real estate, scientific paradigms, and a rational approach to conspiracy theory. While Ethical Empowerment will challenge your mind to consider new perspectives, the ethical challenge is always to keep the diversity, depth, and breadth of perspective within the boundaries of love. Ethical Empowerment is available at Amazon.com and most online booksellers in both print and ebook editions.